Okay, I'm from the Institute of Spectroscopy, Russian Academy of Science, and to my friends, collaborators and former colleagues from this institute, Igor Lerner and Vladimir Kravtsov already contributed to this workshop, and now I would like to express my gratitude to organizers for giving me possibility to attend this paradise. This is my first visit to CSB. So, the subject of my talk is field theory for distribution function in disordered conductors, and I will mostly follow the paper which was recently published, but the research is far from accomplishment, so maybe I feel I add something else, or there is, you will see there is a lot of questions. Thank you. Okay, great. And there is an outline of my work, and I will indicate during our motion where we are. So my intention is to spend at least half of the talk for the introduction, both to justify my motivation and because inevitably I have to hide some detail of my work, and instead I would just use an analogy with more familiar and more simple stuff. Therefore, I have to apologize for presentation or for reminding some more or less known stuff. So I'm sorry if I'm boring for someone. Well, now let me specify the problem. The problem is the standard. We consider electrons or waves in a random potential, and the subject of our interest is the green function of the Schrödinger operator of electrons in a random potential U. Well, and this green function just describes the amplitude of electron propagation from point R to point R prime, and the disorder is considered as Gaussian with zero average, short range correlated, and of course, it, according due to the Fermi golden rule, it causes scattering of electrons. This is just the golden Fermi rule, which connects the strength of disorder, density of states, and the scattering rate of electrons. 2 pi is just famous 2 pi from the golden rule. Well, this quantity may be expressed through the eigenvalues, exact eigenstates and eigenvalues of the Schrödinger problem. So this is well-known spectral representation. Allows to write down the quantities of real physical interest. So I specify them. One of them is a global density of state, which is the sum of delta functions normalized by the system volume. L is the system size and D is the system dimension. Well, it can be expressed through this Green's function as a trace, where trace is counts spatial points. So trace corresponds to integral in a continuous limit. Well, even more interesting quantity is conductance, just the response of the system to the applied voltage. And when we separate a dimensionless quantity, it can also allow us for such a representation in terms of this Green's function, but it contains a couple, two pairs of Green's functions, and therefore it is a bit more complicated, or it's a considerably more complicated quantity. Well, and mostly here I will restrict my consideration just to the first quantity. Well, just to a little bit of physics, the propagation of electron in the considered limit of when mean free path is considerably larger than the electron wavelength, but is considerably smaller than the system size, is diffusive, and The diffusion coefficient is determined via combination of mean free path, mean free time, and the dimension of space. The corresponding diffusion time is this one. The inverse quantity is the Tauless energy. And the conductance, typical conductance, may be expressed just as the ratio of these of two quantities, Tauless energy and mean level spacing, which has a simple physical interpretation. All the levels in open systems are broadened, and broadened due to the possibility of escape of a particle from the system. And this broadening width is just Tauless energy. And this quantity measures the number of levels, number of channels within the broadened window. So the number of channels is just corresponds to the dimensionless conductance. Okay, now known physical results. When we consider average quantities, for average density of states, there is no influence of disorder, and it is clear because levels may fluctuate, but on an but the number is conserved, and on an average, the density of state does not change. While the conductance does change, because then also the mean level spacing. Yes.
So, what's the difference between the angular brackets and the overbar?
Yeah. It's just not notation. I will notate this quantity is just a notation for shorthand notation for this quantity.
No, then I don't understand. Next line has
okay. Let me. these are quantities which are calculated in the simplest approximation, in Drude approximation. This is one of the details I wanted to hide, but he didn't allow me.
Little d in the first line is Drude?
No, d is dimension. Here, this is Drude.
Should be.
Drude approximation. Classical Drude result. Well, what I want, how to understand this expression is that the usual classical conductance gets some additional contribution when it is when you take into account the different disorders. And the physical reason is that the level mean level spacing doesn't change, but the window changes because of some pre-localization effects or weak localization effects, so the probability for particle to escape decreases. And therefore, the window becomes smaller, and the conductance, more narrow, and the conductance decreases. Okay, and this in, this change is governed by when the dimension is close to 2, this change is governed by the logarithm of the ratio of the system size to mean free path, and the function which depends only on the conductance itself. This is the scaling hypothesis, famous scaling hypothesis of the gang of. It was hypothesis and in the paper of gang of force, and it was hypothesis. This is this paper. Yes. Okay. I will return to this point in a couple of transparencies. Well, now. It was okay until it was realized that fluctuations beyond of the fluctuations from sample to sample are also unusual in such disordered systems where the interference effects are important. And it was discovered that there are universal conductance fluctuations from sample to sample, and its quantity is of the order of unity. And it was done by Altshuler, and noticed by Altshuler and Leon Stone. And some later, it was also shown that density of state variations also change from sample to sample. And you see in both cases, in both cases, these quantities don't decay with the increase of the system size. Therefore, this is a difference between the mesoscopic fluctuations and the more customary or thermodynamical fluctuations. And that's why they attracted a lot of attention, were observed, and so on. Well, now, some philosophy. So all those results could be obtained diagrammatically, but we know that the averaging over disorder is a real field theoretical problem because it incorporates a huge amount of degrees of freedom. And so the tool, powerful tool for calculation of this average degrees of freedom is derivation of some effective functional which deals only with slow degrees of freedom. Well, but if mesoscopic fluctuations are of importance, then we would prefer to describe the system not in terms of only average quantities, but to take also into account fluctuations. If we are lucky, we would like to deal with distribution functions of the system, if you are rich. Well, so the question is it possible to develop a field theory for distribution function? Now, let me just brief his retrospective review, and we are already here. So, 79 is the year when several seminal papers were done. Gang of Four, scalar hypothesis. Grigov, Larkin, Khmelnitsky proved renormalizability of the Dima is not agree. Okay. Should I? Okay. Did prove it? Okay. Did found that the second loop does not contradict to the hypothesis of renormalizability. Are you agree? Okay. And Wegener put forward a bosonic nonlinear sigma model. Soon after that, I should say that I have to restrict myself to non-interacting system and the dimension of space within this interval, not to deal with quasi-dimensional and one-dimensional systems.
Why is D smaller than equal to 4? Why is 4 play a role?
Well, it is. It is considered as a high critical dimension of the theory.
No.
But let me restrict to this. Okay. Okay. So, okay. Just very soon after that, Ефетов, Ларкин, Хмельницкий suggested fermionic sigma model instead of the bosonic one. And Ефетов suggested a supersymmetric sigma model and everything for average J. This was the scale when Eichler-Stoneley paper on mesoscopics appeared. But immediately after that, or simultaneously with that, or even a bit before that, Kravtsov and Lerner, without me, they worked on some, they started extended sigma models and faced the fact that, just empirically, they faced the fact that higher terms, I will return to the definition of this, behave somewhat anomalously. And then altogether we were able to develop the theory for this anomalous vertices. And Altshuler, Kravtsov, and Lerner found that the physical consequence of the existence of this anomalous is log normal tails of distribution functions. First, some anomalous growth of moments, and second, these log normal tails of distribution functions. They were calculated. The distribution function were calculated, and all this was quite complicated stuff that time. And in the middle of 90s, there was suggested a new vision. Just to mention that Just a remark aside that this phenomenon seems to be quite general for nonlinear sigma models, because Wegener found the same for n-vector model. Well, and in the middle of 80s, Muzykansky and Khmelnytsky suggested a new vision to this story. That they suggested secondary saddle point approach, and we are able to reproduce the following quantity, the long time asymptotics of the conductance of conductance decay this time when the voltage switches off. Well, so they were able to get this quantity from the secondary settlement point approach. But not this one and not this one, because there was simply no starting point for consideration of these quantities. And now we are already here, and I will tell you the story, how to calculate this quantity with the use of a similar approach. But first I should develop the theory for P of nu. Okay, now very short sketch of a nonlinear sigma model and all this stuff. So the basic object we know is the Green's function, and the primary representation for the Green's function is in terms of the functional integral over primary fields. So here we have the primary field, some local field psi, as a local variable. Well, in what I will do, this I will have to sacrifice this locality property. Well, now we have we see that averaging over the disorder here is elementary because there is no denominator. We have to pay for the absence of denominator by introducing some more complicated structure of the field psi. It may be done with replica trig or Schwinger-Keldysh contour, or so I prefer to use supersymmetry suggested by Yefetov. So field psi contains two components, bosonic and Grassmannian.
And supersymmetry is suggested by Michael
Stoll. No, I mean the following. Yefetov suggested to use this approach to avoid the denominator problem and calculate.
This was suggested by Michael Stoll.
Okay, I cannot argue with Dima. He knows everything. But, sorry. Well, so I will deal with this formulation. Now we have this supersymmetric representation. We have a potential which can be elementary averaged. And we have quartic term which should be quartic term up averaging, which should be decoupled with the use of the Hubbard-Stratonovich decoupling. And now again, I should emphasize that because psi is local variable, the matrix Q is also local variable. And I will also sacrifice this in my derivation. Well, now, after this Hubbard-Stratonovich decoupling, just a few words, because I will need some notations and some new concepts. We have this quartic term disappears. Instead, we have a term which is linear, bilinear, bilinear in psi function. Now, and we have this auxiliary term arising in order to perform the Hubbard-Stratonovich transformation. Then we may integrate over psi, get a functional of Q, find its extremum. I will call it the first saddle point approach, primary saddle point approach, and the primary saddle point manifold is described by this set of matrices, Q squared equal to 1, and therefore we may take a point in this manifold lambda z, which is just the which is Pauli z matrix acting in retarded advanced space, and rotated with two matrices V and V minus 1. So after that, this term disappears. Integration over psi gives us a supertrace logarithm of this expression, and H0 is a kinetic term which contains derivatives, and if we if not this symmetry breaking term, and if not this symmetry breaking term, then the global rotation of this matrix will leave this functional invariant. And therefore, it is clear that if we would like to expand this Hamiltonian, if we would like to take into account smooth spatial variations of the matrix V, the expansion will go over powers of gradients of the field V, and in powers of this symmetry breaking term.
Sorry, just to make sure.
Yes.
T omega is just the partition function, basically. I mean, there's no operator in there.
Well, some insertion.
There is some operator.
Oh, yeah.
There is some operator which I don't specify.
I
have to hide details.
Psi was a fermion, you said. Is that right?
Sorry?
Super. Yeah, I know, but it
This is super function.
Oh, yeah.
Super.
Yeah.
Therefore, here after integration, we have a super trace and not just a trace logarithm.
And what does
it take? The smallness of the electron wavelengths as compared to the mean free path. So you see, since now there is no there is nothing in the functional which depends on the electron wavelengths. We have hydrodynamic, non-trivial hydrodynamic, but this is hydrodynamical expansion over powers of external frequency multiplied by the mean free time tau, and the ratio of mean free path to the system size. Both parameters are considerably smaller than unity, and as I told, the first terms of expansion are contain the minimum value of gradients and the first power of the symmetry breaking term. There are also, we may continue this expansion, and if we neglect this term, we will get what is called the usual nonlinear sigma, nonlinear sigma model. Here it is. Well, this may be, this routine may be modified to take in order to calculate moments of function. And of course, to calculate these moments in this approach, we simply need to add an additional replica index to every field. So the matrix Q, which decouples two fields, will be also matrix in this replica space. And these replica indices are from 1 to n, where n is quite fixed number, good number. It doesn't go to 0, so nobody will accuse us for this taking this limit. And finally, we have the same, formally the same term, but now we take into account also extended sigma model, because it contributes to the moments. And it's just a time to mention about the problems with which arise with high order terms. So it turns out that the renormalization group dimension of additional scalar vertices or gradient vertices increases. And this is some algebra which can be just the renormalization group transformation on the one loop level is somehow some algebraic operation which acts in the space of products of different traces of Q, or traces with gradients. And therefore, this algebraic... what is important here, what we discovered...
The operators who edit now are these naturally irrelevant operators considered by Kraft, so...
It's just, this is just Kraftsov, Lerner, and me. Yes, they
you don't know what to do after.
Okay, let me show everything at once. So what is important here? First of all, we were able to calculate these anomalous dimensions because we used, of course, I don't know whether Kashmir is an international word, which Joshua, but, so it's awful.
Don't point the laser at me.
So what is important that the most fastly increasing vertices are built of the symmetric arrangement of pluses and minuses within the trace. And therefore, there is indication that we, in fact, we are bound to two-dimensional space. This is important. And then the growth of charges, of this bar charges, follows the following rule, where U is some small quantity. Nevertheless, when N increases, the number of this derivative increases, then this growth overcomes the original negative anomalous dimension.
Would this require finding any fixed point?
No. It's just... Okay, now physics behind of this is the, or not behind, but maybe physical consequences of this growth is the growth of cumulant moments found by Altschuler, Kraftsov, and Lerner. So cumulant moments of conductance and global density of states of fluctuations also increase, and after some procedure of resummation of divergent series, they came to the final expressions for log normal asymptotics of distribution function. Okay. Let me write it for the further references. Pj x, Pj delta j x. X minus 4 for U. Okay, let me for U. J U 4. Logarithm squared. Logarithm squared delta J. J tau delta, or the same logarithm squared delta nu nu tau delta J four. P nu delta nu and. It's remarkable that a more simple quantity has the same log normal tail. I mean, the long time current relaxation, or distribution of relaxation time. So suppose we have a current flowing through the system and we switched off the voltage. Then current immediately decays. But still there is some tail because some electrons are still moving within the system. Yes? Oh, is there a question? Well, it is. So then there is some physics behind of this connection. I will return back to this. So when we consider just the frequency-dependent conductance, we know that high-order vertices contribute to this dependence. And therefore, there is also contribution to the time dependence of conductance. And indeed, if we take the conductance as a function of time, subtract the fastly decaying time, then we will get the following distribution function for this. It's not distribution function, but this is just time asymptotics of the average conductance after the current is switched off. So I'll write it to for the reference. Gt is proportional to x minus pj ll logarithm ll logarithm squared t tau j. Well, this j was omitted in the original paper but was restored by Mirlin. Okay. Well, now this looks, all this is very complicated, and the new vision suggested by Muzykantsky and Chmielnitsky was the following. You see, this quantity J is described by the usual nonlinear sigma model, may be described. And therefore, with elementary action, where here is time symmetry breaking term. And I didn't ask Dima, but I think that their motivation was to consider this term as something which disturbs the uniform manifold. And you may not agree, it's my treatment of you. Well, and to find out the saddle point of this action. Yes. I mean, secondary saddle point is, you see, this action was obtained as a primary saddle point when we excluded all the effects of small electron wavelengths. And nonlinear sigma model is already a saddle point, primary saddle point manifold. Saddle point. Functional. Yes. Not only because of decoupling, but because we choose the configuration of the field Q, restricted configuration of field Q. Q obeys some certain constraints, so it's not the original manifold of Q. And secondary was suggested by Muzykantsky and Chmielnitsky is just to consider the secondary saddle point of this action.
There's no small parameter present that justifies the saddle point.
It is.
It's a large conductance. Yeah.
It is. And so the secondary point equation. Yes? Yes, I can.
No, Andreas, it's long time actually. The original problem is long time.
But it's a long time.
This is a long time part, you mean? So this one?
No, this one.
Yes?
Can it be interpreted as a Gaussian distribution of family parameters?
It can be interpreted as a log normal distribution of, not of barriers, but of decay times. Well, I think it was indicated here. You see, if we take this long-term, long-time asymptotics and formally represent it in the form of an integral of exponential of a decaying exponent, then we may ask what is the relaxation, what is the distribution of these quantities, relaxation time. You see, every exponent corresponds to some decay, with some decay time. And let's find, using this expression, let's find the function p, which would be the distribution function of this decay times. And it turns out that in the leading logarithmic approximation, this distribution function is given by the following.
Yeah, now, can I understand this formula with hands, so to speak? I mean, can I associate some collective relaxation with
No, I don't think it is collective relaxation. On the contrary, it is... associated with relaxation of individual level. So the philosophy. Okay, I wanted to say it. I'm very sorry. Okay. Anyway, I wanted to say it later that the physical idea is that even in a good metal you have pre-localized states which decays very slowly, and this is the distribution time of this slow decays. And why it appears? Just because there are some there is random potential and
rare
configurations of disorder are responsible for creation of such rare. Well, but I'm sorry, I have to accelerate. So yes, now. It will be more formal. So what Musikansky and Khmelnitsky did is they just formally wrote a saddle point equation to this action. And then they used some special parameterization of the matrix Q, where the only important things. Well, I have to omit everything. So in fact, Dima should present this work, and not me. but okay, what are important points is that finally, what is important is that there are two angles, non-compact angle characterizing the boson sector and compact angle characterizing the fermionic sector, and the saddle point equation restricted to this parameterization leads to the following equation for bosonic angle theta, and for fermionic there will be just only sine instead of sine hyperbolic. And when boundary conditions are introduced, then and integration over omega here gives self-consistency equation from where this parameter kappa may be expressed via the given time t. And the solution of this equation in various geometry represented gives the corresponding dependence long time asymptotics. Okay. For two dimensional case, the refined consideration was done by Mirlin. These results were obtained by Musikansky and Khmelnitsky themselves. And what is important here, that you see, what was important in the renormalization group approach? The important point was that the presence of high gradients is indication of the fact that low spatial states, low spatial regions are important. Here, this importance of low small size regions is also present, and in this approach it should be somehow avoided by some handmade regularization. So the problem of small space ranges does exist. And then, again, Mazukansky and Kmenitsky suggested a ballistic sigma model to overcome these problems. But I will restrict to the usual formulation. Well, what is important is that after solving the equation, we obtain the asymptotics for conductance, which coincides with what was obtained by Schröder, Kurtzow, and Lerner. So it coincides, and now this is now that's motivation. You see, this is these are RG results. This is saddle point results.
No, I'm totally confused. Did you look at a secondary saddle point and you get about the same results people earlier got out from the primary saddle point?
No, primary saddle point, but taking into account extended nonlinear sigma model. And taking into account all the randomization group technique.
But a different saddle point.
No, because you see, the secondary saddle point is a secondary point at the first saddle point.
The primary saddle point is just a tool to derive the theory, right? It's a tool to derive the actual nonlinear sigma model, and then you just talk about nothing else but the nonlinear sigma model. And the secondary saddle point addresses the question how to do certain calculations within that sigma model action,
exactly.
And we forget instantly about the primary saddle point, which is a tool to derive.
Well, you see,
there is no saddle point at all. There's no primary saddle point at all. It's just you can forget about it. Just think about it. There is a nonlinear sigma model.
Okay,
but is there a saddle point sigma model? Yes.
Sometimes.
For large conductance, there is a saddle point, and then when a conductance is not so large, you go far away from it, from the saddle point, by doing the normalization group calculations in a useful way. So,
okay.
Saddle point amounts to eliminating longitudinal massive degrees of freedom to the saddle point manifold. That's all it means. That's primary. I think we should forget about the primary saddle point system and just talk about the sigma model.
Mm-hmm. When you say sigma model, then you
precisely. As soon as you say
yes.
sigma model,
everything has arrived. Yes, everything is done already.
Don't need it.
Well, now you see, this was done with a different approach. Now the question is whether it is possible to do something similar for these two. Distributions, and to do it, we would like to have a field theory for distribution function, and it should obey the standard requirements. It should give opportunity to perform the disorder averaging, to derive slow functional description, and so on and so on. So, and it's clear that not every representation is suitable. For instance, if we just write down that distribution function of nu, global density of state, is nu minus this microscopic quantity nu, which may be expressed through the Green's functions. If we use functional representation for the Green's function and put it here and put it here, it would be just awful, because we would not be able to work with this monster. So the question is to find out a clever primary representation for the P nu. And this is the main point, and this can be done exactly. And this is the primary representation for the characteristic function of the global density of state. S is a parameter, is an argument of this characteristic function. I consider relative quantity, the ratio of nu to its average quantity. And it may be represented as an integral over Gaussian integral over primary fields psi bar and superfields psi bar and psi. And this construction looks like this one.
What is the relation of B and B bar with S? No, sorry, what is B actually? What is?
Do you see? It's down. So, what are B? B are some constant vectors, which are delta function in spatial arguments, and some vectors which give the following direct product. So we may choose B bar and B in the following form. Just 1, 1. And 1 minus 1.
So what's that? So far, no approximation.
Right? No approximation at all. But, but I have to pay for this beauty, if it is beauty. Psi are bilocal fields. And it brings, of course, a lot of complications.
Sorry, why were they bilocal?
Because you cannot, because I am using bilocal fields, I can, I am able to write down this representation. In local fields, I cannot write down such a representation. For instance, just because suppose B is a local field, what will you do with it? You should, the only way is to integrate it over R.
So Psi is really two.
Psi is a quantity which depends on two spatial arguments. Two spatial arguments.
Was it before was called Q?
Sorry?
Was it before
called Q? No, Q. It's still exact field theoretical representation for the density. I can justify it. But what is M?
It's like two of the previous Psi's.
But here psi is written.
Yes.
Psi equals SR, SA, psi.
Oh, psi A, yes. Each of them has these indices.
Each of them is function of
two variables, yes.
Right.
Yes. And I don't know a simpler representation.
So effectively in the mid-70s, I think... Jakiev, Common, and Tumbulis use similar things to calculate non-perturbative Green's functions. So you get the Green's function as a solution of some variational equations, at least in large and limit.
Well, it might be some analogy, I don't know.
Will be local fields.
Okay, now the matrix M is just the previous Hamiltonian, and because matrices depend on two indices, the matrix M which connects them should depend on four spatial indices. Well, and now let me just illustrate how to come back to the expression from here.
The statement is the distribution function, or its origin, can be exactly expressed.
Exactly.
We have proven that, but it's not complicated to see.
It's not complicated to see because first, what should we do? We should integrate this. We should make shift in psi variables.
Yeah, okay.
And what we get after integration, we get just integral over this quadratic term, which gives us supertrace M, which is zero due to the supersymmetry. Then we have M with bra and ket B. And now B, M minus B, it's something like that. And trace now is taking over all the spatial variables, and because B and B direct product is chosen to provide this equality, then we see that this quantity just disappears because trace because it is off diagonal, and this matrix gives us just JR minus J. And of course, it's now my my choice of numbers to provide that the coefficient here is just what we need, so that this term is just S mu E divided by mu. So this is exact. Yes.
Same thing.
Yes.
this integration over by
yes
by the 2-point function of two variables. It is something more complicated than
yes.
than we had before. It should be paid for this. It is kind of.
Well, first of all, the quantity which you considered was much simpler than this one. No, than this. Therefore, yes, yes. Therefore, I have to pay.
Sure.
Sure, I have to pay.
You have much more complicated beast.
Yes.
Integration yes. of yes. strange things.
Yes.
Would you meet real
difficulties? Sure. Sure. Well, okay. So please believe me. We proved it. Okay. Now, okay. Maybe a few words about the physical sense of this quantity. If you just consider average of psi, so we integrate with this weight. What we find that this average is nothing but a row of JR and JA. So we may say that what is the physical meaning, if I'm allowed to use this, is that integration goes over the Green's function space, but the classical trajectory here is the physical Green's function.
So in the previous formulas, this would be a bilinear form.
Right. Yes, and here also everything is bilinear.
No, but psi itself, the object that you
would... Psi itself, the object which average is physical Green's function.
Substitute psi like replacing quarks by mesons.
Yeah.
Okay, now let's use this primary representation. What is important that we achieved our goal to have a simple...
Yes.
Simple form where u enters linearly to the exponent, so we can average this quantity. It stands here. This u stands here. We can average it. We get the quartic term, and now you see how this quartic term looks like. It contains each term contains two spatial arguments because of the local character of disorder. So it should be decoupled by a matrix field that depends on the variable R, which is implied to be smooth. This dependence is smooth. And on the variables R1 and R2. So we have to deal with this beast. Now, well, as a result, after this decoupling, this matrix will, instead of disorder, will get this term, and we have to lift this object, which depends on three spatial arguments, to the four-dimensional space, to the space of four spatial arguments, in order to deal with the tensor of the same rank. But okay, we still can. Yes, yes, please.
What is this delta R, R1, R1?
Delta R4, this is 4. Yes, it is 4 in my computer. Yes, it is 4. Well, then we can look for, then we can use all this machinery which I described previously. And therefore, we have a saddle point, but this is already matrix in this hidden spatial variables, spatial arguments. And finally, we can write down the slow functional.
If you don't see additional vertices with the expansion, in this huge matrix.
Sorry, please say it again.
You don't see the high gradient operators in the gradient.
Well, sure, I see them, but I now my intention is the following. I just would like to repeat step by step the approach of Musikansky and Khmelnytsky, that is, to restrict myself to the lowest hydrodynamic approximation, and then to investigate what are saddle points of this approximation. So, whenever possible, I will keep only the lowest gradient terms. And okay, the first the action consists of two terms. One of them is just the same as for usual nonlinear sigma model, with the only exclusion that there are hidden spatial arguments which simply plays role of replicas here. Therefore,
Q has three
indexes. It has two indices and one spatial argument written explicitly.
Yeah, so Q of R is
Q
a matrix.
Of R is a matrix.
What are the matrix
yes.
indices of it?
Sorry?
What are the matrix indices of a matrix Q of R now?
This is matrix.
Yeah, so
there are
two spatial
arguments. Yes, two spatial arguments are present here.
Thanks.
Everywhere. Well, and there is
this
supertrace implies also includes a summation or integration over the all spatial indices. Well, and there is also the first term, which arises, okay, I can give a very rough idea from where it comes. You remember that after Hubbard-Stratonovich decoupling, I have the following. I have matrix M0 plus. Is it okay, this level?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Plus E divided by 2q psi, all of them are functions of this additional indices, plus b psi plus b psi plus psi b without coefficient term, plus some coefficient. Yeah. Well, and this stands in the exponent, and when now I can integrate over psi. When I integrate over psi, I get here the quantity B M0 plus IQ minus 1. And I may write it in the following way. B M0 squared plus Q. I multiply it by this quantity minus I, plus Q squared minus 1, M0 minus EQB. And now, of course, this is not quite correct. There should be also commutator, anti-commutator mu q, but it leads to additional gradients, and I neglect it because I'm keeping only the lowest gradients whenever it is possible. So, but this quantity is unity. It is unity, and what we have here is just the usual Green's function, 1 over 1 plus 1 fourth, because this one. Or plus 4 E minus, or H0 squared minus E squared. Just Lorentzian in the momentum space, which stands here. This term doesn't contribute just because of the symmetry, because this both matrices are of diagonal, and this does contribute. And we have finally this term, and we have finally this term where this operator is just the just this inverse Green's function, which I showed here. Well, and also arguments of this R now become bound to this quantity. So here we have some more complicated, more simple, more complicated structure. Okay, that's it. Now, now I have to check this nonlinear sigma model. And first I do perturbative check, and I see that there is, of course, at least up to the second loop, there is correspondence with the diagrammatic results. When I calculate characteristic function in the zeros loop, I will get just the necessary unity, which shows me that that there is no renormalization of density of average density of state. Then I get a result which would lead to the known expression for cumulant of density of state obtained by Altshuler and Shklovsky. And also I checked that there is non-trivial so-called accidental cancellation of two loop contributions to the third cumulant. So all these checks were done, the theory works, and it gives hope that it may work, even may be used for non-perturbative calculations. So beyond the perturbative theory, very briefly, again, we may write down secondary saddle point equation, but now I would like to restrict the consideration to some submanifold of this saddle point manifold. Namely, I will consider only such matrices Q as a solution of this equation, which have smooth dependence on the sum of two coordinates, these two coordinates, and will have a small difference of these two quantities. And the physics behind of it is the following, that this matrix Q in principle may be interpreted as a vertex of incident and outgoing Green's functions with a lot of disorder lines standing here. So this is a kind of diffuson operator. And for diffuson operator, we know that indeed the dependence on the ends is smooth, and these two coordinates are close to each other because this scattering is separated by a mean free path. So this difference is of the order of mean free path. Now, if it is so, we may do Wigner representation, introduce the second quantity. So we have two parameters. Instead of this, we have introduced momentum P, this is Fourier over the difference, and variable R prime, which is already smooth, which depends on this quantity. And in terms of in Wigner representation, again, keeping the leading approximation, we come to the following expression. This is the first part, just it has just the second coordinate R prime and momentum P, and the third term looks like this one, where this Green's function in the approximation in the is just a measure of the its unity when we are sitting at the Fermi surface. And also, I'm sorry, also in this approximation, we should take that the constraint reduces to just the usual constraint for the usual matrix Q, which depends on these three parameters. Now this is the usual Q squared equals to 1. And we may try to find the long tail asymptotics of this P nu, just making the following step. The first inverse Laplace transformation expresses nu s, so t nu of our interest, and we parameterize, we consider only bosonic sector from the very beginning, following the idea of Dima and Boris. We look, we take this matrix in the following form, where theta is a function of this, all these three parameters. We write down the bosonic action, self-consistency equation, and finally we write down the saddle point equation for the bosonic action. It's this one, with the parameter kp defined in this way. Well, and for comparison, the equation of Mogilyovsky-Khmelnytsky looks like this one. There is a difference. This is differential equation. This is, in fact, algebraic equation. Not algebraic, sorry, but transcendental equation, ordinary equation. Because what we have here is just taken at the point r prime. We may write down the formal solution to this equation using the Green's function of the Laplace iterator. So theta at the point r prime p is d Green's function r prime, and sine theta r prime p. And now we should put here prime to get self-consistency equation, and it will be self-consistency equation to determine us this quantity theta. We did it. There's always trivial solution, of course, and there is also non-trivial solution for small kappa when theta is some logarithm of inverse diffusive operator. And this saddle point action has led to the following expression, which coincides with the expression obtained by Schröder-Kraft of Lerner, with the difference that I considered unitary ensemble and they considered orthogonal ensemble with where they have four standing here. Well, so this is practically all, and I can put here plus two. But there is no at present there is no accomplished story for the most interesting part, for the conductance fluctuations. Well, basically that's all. A Wirkenfeld theoretical representation has been suggested, and what was the basic element? Integration over bilocal primary superfields. Well, slow functional and non-perturbative secondary saddle point has led to log normal asymptotics of distribution functions. And I'm sorry, that's all for now.